Welcome in. You just found the most entertaining Iowa podcast out there. It's the Washed Up Walk-Ons. And on today's episode, we are just a couple weeks away from full-fledged college football action. And today, the Walk-Ons do something that we've never really done before. We predict Iowa football's 2023 schedule. Football conversation starts just after 18-minute mark. This one gets good. Please sit back, enjoy. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. Don't know where Drake is. He told Kevin to push these nuts before we got on this episode because Kevin pushed the episode back to 7 o'clock. We're going to record at 6:30. I assume that Kevin had important stuff going on. So I was respectful. Drake wasn't, but here we are. Kevin, just now catching up with the social media virality that is our Jersey post. Talked about it a little bit on the last. We don't want to dwell on it, but we continue to get absolutely just rammed.
Dumped on
by all of the internet bros who don't know us or have ever listened to our podcast, but it hit the algorithm. And
I mean, are you crazy surprised that having a sports show and saying that you think jerseys are dumb didn't go over well?
Here's what didn't come across. Go ahead,
I was about to say, Grant, you make an excellent point. I think people on Twitter had the same reactions. Like, it's a very bold take out of you two.
So, obviously, without the nuance of knowing and listening to our show every day, my opinions on the extremity of your involvement or fandom in sports are interesting and a little bit off for someone who does a sports focused show. Now, what didn't come across in that clip was it did very much sound like, and I kind of like it. I almost wish in a way, Grant, that this was the point, like you had this in mind when you cut that up, but it didn't come across as if we were just telling our own personal opinions. I would never tell him. Why am I blurry? Why do I look like I am on a Nokia? What's going on here? It didn't come across as, hey, this is just what I think for myself. I would never wear a jersey, but I'm cool with other people wearing jerseys because I am. Grant's wearing an NHL jersey on this podcast. And there's Drake hopping in. Drake, Grant said that he was going to wear a jersey for maybe eternity now on this show. I just personally would never do it, but the clip did come across as us telling other people, hey man, you're a weirdo if you wear jerseys, which is cool because it got engagement, but it is
weird. I told G-Bone if he sends me one of his high school jerseys, I'll wear it on a podcast.
Like one of his jerseys?
I didn't get to keep many of my high school jerseys.
I think I only got to keep one.
I say we didn't have senior day, so I didn't get the frame jersey.
Was your senior day during COVID or what?
It was during COVID, yeah.
Oh, dude, that is suck.
That's tough.
So did your like entire senior season get canceled?
Yeah, we had a preseason scrimmage, and then the next day it was like everything's over.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. I could send you my tennis jersey, which is just like a t-shirt with my high school logo on it.
I got a feeling that Drake might not fit in that.
I don't think there's any jersey that I've ever worn that Drake's going to fit in, but
it's too bad.
Just as a gauge, Grant, how many jerseys would you say you have?
Like that are mine or that are
that you may throw on for a sporting event such as the one you're wearing right now?
That's a great question.
Is it more than 5?
It's enough that I don't know the exact answer at the moment. So
that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. Drake, welcome to the show. Glad everybody can join us tonight. How are we feeling? Are we good? Are everybody good? Everybody have a good weekend?
No. Fucking tired. I hate technology. Shit's stupid. I'm a caveman. Stupid ass shit.
Tell me you smashed your phone again or something.
No. Okay. I just had computers just update on their own now and they kick you out unless you put in password after password.
Mm. Yeah.
Fuck yourself.
I'm having the same issue right now, Drake, if that makes you feel better. So.
It doesn't.
Drake, I'm really curious where...
I hate the nuance of technology, dude. I fucking hate it.
I've never been more curious of where a person's life path takes them than you. Ever. I don't know where you're going to end up.
Me either. But I know it's going to be... I know it's going to be in a furnace. That's where it ends. So at least I know the ending.
You're not big into burial?
Fuck that. Nobody's at my funeral. There is no funeral. Cook me and send me where I belong.
You know, you can have a funeral for cremated people too, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I'm not going to, is my point.
He said, cook me.
Well, guess what? You ain't going to be able to stop anybody.
I mean, I guess you're right. That's pretty fair. I guess
you could put in your will.
I'm going to
do not have a funeral.
Oh, it's already in there. I don't know why I said I'm going to. It's in there.
You've got a will,
brother. You can't have. Yeah.
It's just smart to have a will. Especially Drake, more so than anyone else.
Okay.
That I know.
I suppose that's fair. If I think about that, it makes a little bit more
sense. I mean, just a minute. The guy just like, he's going to get nice rubbed him. The wrong way by someone in public, and that dude's just going to pull a knife on him or a gun on him, and things are just going to go south. And
then they're going to cook me and send me where I belong.
Okay.
What were we supposed to do with your ashes? Can we do something cool with your ashes?
Roll them up, smoke them, and that's the only part of me that's going to the sky, baby.
I don't want any part of you inside of me. You know, just don't want that. Did find it interesting what you said you wanted to be turned into in the Instagram chat, though. That was something.
I'm twisted. I don't know. There's no other way around it.
I just like, I really don't. Lauren and I were just talking about this earlier.
Of course, bro. I swear to God, I'm dinner conversation at Kluver House, number one, A, B, and C.
It was yesterday, and I said something. It was because I was – something happened with Kinley, and I was like
– I wonder if Drake's going to be your bodyguard someday.
No, I was like – I was just like, is Drake – I think Drake would be a good dad, but I don't know if he – I think he's scared to – that his kid's going to get his crazy. And
what you think of what it's guaranteed, dude.
I don't think it's guaranteed. It's maybe more likely than others. Grant, I mean, you want kids, just, right? Someday
at some point.
Okay. How are you doing? How's your mental state as we near football season here?
I'm good. You know, I'm getting excited. I see the countdowns every day. Getting a little.
He's
closer.
About to get to go back to college, dog. He's feeling great.
Yeah. What are you most excited about coming back to Iowa City?
I feel like, I don't know. There's a lot of things to be excited about. Got a new place moving into. The moving part's going to be not amazing, but. You know, get to see my friends, get to live it up as a college student for one more year. So it should be a good time.
You get to do a live podcast show from Back Pocket Brewery on the September 1st.
I do get to do that. That'll be really fun.
Come and your friends going to come by?
Any of my friends going to come by? They don't. I don't think they know it exists right now. So
well, they should.
I should have to. I'll have to ask them.
And if you're listening to this right now, you should come by.
You know what's wild to me is the fact that Grant graduated high school during COVID and he's going into his last year of college.
Yeah. And it just feels like that was just like,
that was like 2 weeks ago.
Right. Yeah. It is weird. I want to give a shout out to Grant, by the way. Instagram account just passed 3,000 followers. YouTube just passed 2,500 subscribers.
Let's go. That's all for the G-bone right there.
Jesus Christ. The G-bone effect is real.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Go check out Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, subscribe, like it up if you haven't already. It helps out the brand more than you guys probably know.
Is it still Twitter, or did they change the name officially now?
Nobody calls it X.
Technically X, but I prefer – I'm going to call it Twitter for the next, like, decade.
Yeah, this it's not posts or – it's not tweets or retweets anymore. It's posts and reposts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like – this is, like, the worst rebrand I think I ever found myself a part of as, like, a user of the product.
Drake said he was coming back when all this would happen, but he's still yet to be found.
It ain't happening.
Good.
I'm a liar.
Yeah.
Good.
We're probably happy with that as a brand, to be honest.
Though I did make an account just to tell Rob Ho to fuck himself, and then I deleted it. I just, like, deleted the app. So, I mean, I guess there is an account that exists that I probably could get access to.
I love the pettiness, for sure. It's good. Tonight we're going to talk about – we're going to take a little look at the schedule this year because, I mean – We should probably do that. I don't think we're going to go game by game and try and act like we know the players that the other teams have and, you know, break down the matchups and be that kind of person because we're not those people as much as some other people are. But we're going to take a look, maybe give a few predictions. I got a prediction for the season, or at least a feeling on where we're going.
I got a prediction, too, after opening the Discord on Saturday.
Okay. And the
and it's that all Iowa fans are just going to overreact to everything,
sure,
per usual.
Yeah,
it's just fucking the overreaction university.
They were overreacting to the Instagram clip of Cade, I believe.
But everything is an overreaction.
Hey, it's what fans do.
I just don't get it.
See, so here's where we disconnect. This is a major disconnection for the three of us versus who is listening to our show right now. Is we were on the inside and expectations or predictions. You didn't make predictions as a that's not even a thing in a player's world, right?
You're going winning out, them all. It's you're gonna always win. You're winning them all.
You're going out to win the football game. You're not making a prediction. You don't have the mental energy or time to worry about, oh, if we could do this or if we could do that. You're literally singularly focused on what your job is, what your role on the team is, how you can help during the week, how you can help on game day, how you and the squad are going to win a ball game. And so that was beat into us. And so I don't know how to say this without being condescending, but like, the three of us just kind of know how it works versus a lot of fans on the outside just don't quite understand what it takes to go win a ball game.
For me, it's not even that. It's just, I guess I overreact to things less than other people. It just seems like, I don't know, man.
Well, and maybe that's part of the brainwashing of Coach Ferentz. It's like, hey, never get too high, never get too low. We're going to stay even kill, 24-hour rule.
Very well could be. I mean, when everybody is kind of doing the same thing over and over again, it probably does shape that.
Because as a player, whether you win or lose, then there's a new opponent on the schedule immediately. Clock turns over, right? So I don't know. I think there's just a part of the that we may never have again. Is like that part of fandom where you just like you let the camp hype videos and all the content that's being made get you juiced up and you're like, I don't know, I think we're going 12-0, baby. And it's just like you and I and Kevin. I mean, Kevin and I made a 12-0 prediction in the 2015 season. That's not a joke. That's 100% real. It's the only time we actually ever sat down together and did that as well, and it happened to go true.
I made a 12-0 prediction every year I ever played, dude.
Well, but what I'm saying is it was very abnormal for Kevin and I to even do that. We never sat down and did that at the beginning of the year. For some reason, Kevin and I just this one day were like, we're looking at the schedule. We just had this feeling. And we kind of still thought we were fucking crazy. We were like looking at each other like, could it happen?
Of course you think you're crazy, dude. 12-0 is an impossibility.
It's not.
Shit happens. It's so
three
hard.
Teams.
Alabama always finds a way to lose once. Then they win the national title. They always figure out a way to lose once.
I was going
to
say, even the best teams in the country, you know, you might have three teams who make it to 12-0. Five if you include some of the
mid-majors and stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, like, it just is so hard to do. And it's not that the opponent that you end up losing to is better than you necessarily. You might be a better football team. Better team
doesn't always win. We lost to Purdue and Northwestern a couple times, dude.
It's because doing it game in, game out, week after week, late into the season, injuries, people got – you happen to have a week where 20 guys on the team have a test and they're not mentally locked in and they don't do scout team right, and that messes up the – there's so many billions of factors with 100-plus guys on the team, 30-plus staff. The equation, the formula it takes to do that. And so making predictions that are very, very – nuance and detailed is silly a little bit, but we'll do it. On a large scale, I'm gonna give you my record prediction. I'm not gonna tell you which games we're gonna win and lose. I have some ideas on that, but we'll get that towards there at the end. I do want to take it. What?
You're not gonna pick one and say this is where it's happening?
I'm going to give you possibilities just because that's how I see it in my mind.
Yeah,
I
thought we were going to do it like Mike Francesa style, like win, win, loss, win, win, win.
I'm not going to give you that, but you can if you want to. Well, you can if you want
to. I feel like you have to do that. If you're going to throw out, like, if you're going to throw out, hey, like, I have two losses here, here's where I think they are.
Mine, it will make sense when you hear it.
Okay.
But you can give yours as well.
Okay.
I want to take a quick second to direct you guys over to hawkadelic.com. Our merchandise, the Washed Up Walk-Ons merchandise, has moved locations. Same company. We're still with AdCraft. We have just moved websites. Hawkadelic is their premium Iowa clothing brand. We were on their like AdCraft web stores page before, where we were with all the rest of the, what would you call it, like high school fundraising, you know, like the Bettendorf, whatever they are, does a volleyball t-shirt fundraiser and their web store's up for 10 days. We used to be over there on adcraftwebstores.com. We're now on hawkadelic.com. We have our own pull down tab. It looks immaculate. Shout out to Colin and the team over there. So we're still with AdCraft, still love what they're doing for us. We'll have a limited time store coming soon, but our link through our website, thewashedupwalkons.com or hawksbyamillion.com, will now direct you there. You can buy your baby onesies, your Hawks by a Million, your flags, your walk on everything earned, your hats. All that stuff, new walk-on logo, it can be found over there. As we mentioned earlier in the show, and Grant kind of hit on it, head on over to YouTube and the Instagram. We're going to be doing a lot. There's going to be more content more frequently coming out during the season, strike while the iron's hot kind of thing. We're going to be trying to pump out a shitload of stuff here, so head on over there and follow us on all the stuff.
And for the final housekeeping item before we get to the good stuff. Friday, September 1st, 2 to 4 p.m. at Back Pocket Brewery in Coralville, Iowa. The walk-ons, me, Gary, and Kevin are going to be doing a live show. Come by, buy some merch, hang out, chat with the boys, watch us do a live podcast, have some drinks, enjoy Fry Fest, and ring in the new football year. Okay.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
I want to talk quickly before we get into the record stuff about this link right here. I saw this was interesting to me. It was the best coaching jobs in the country. And it was posted by 247 Sports. Not that they know anything over there, but hey, someone,
they don't know anything.
Someone put together a list and it kind of made it. I pondered in my brain. I was curious what you guys thought.
The world makes Texas the second most appealing.
Well, there's a lot of factors here. There's a lot of factors. Top 16, this is by 247 Sports, in their opinion, the top 16 jobs in college football. I'll read them off quickly. From 1 to 16, Georgia, Texas, Bama, LSU, Ohio State, USC, Michigan, Florida, Notre Dame, A&M, Oklahoma, Clemson, Tennessee, Florida State, Auburn, Penn State.
Is this in this year, 2023? Or
I think it's current day best jobs, best landing spots. If there's an open job, these are your top 16 in their eyes. And it got me thinking, because I know we had
number two is a wildly terrible pick for me.
Well,
right
here's the
off
deal,
the
though.
Bat.
Well, it's not been the most stable position there in Austin to be the Texas.
And they cannot, will not, it is blasphemy against their religion to curb their expectations for that program.
You're saying that job's way overrated? You would have them like further down or
way further down, dude. I would not pick Texas because if I'm not great on year one or two, I suck, and they're finding a way to get me out of there, dude. I'm not trying to just go to a place to get chastised for doing something or for trying to do something that nobody else has been able to do either. But you assholes won't just understand that you're not the Texas you used to be, and now I'm fired again. Like, I'm not going to Texas.
They got a lot of donors, and they can get all the recruits.
But all of these top 16 got a lot of donors, and they can all get a lot of recruits. Look at Tennessee's recruiting class last year. Tennessee sucked for fucking years, dude. They've been middle of the pack SEC for years, and they just got a top five recruiting class in Knoxville, Tennessee, dude. That place is weird. Tennessee, the state, sucks. Tennessee, the school, not that good. And they got a top five recruiting class.
Hey, Rocky Top, baby. So you'd move Tennessee up on here?
No, but what I'm saying is there's absolutely nothing that makes Texas more appealing than Tennessee, and it's certainly there's nothing on earth that makes it number two.
I understand, like you're saying, like, hey, man, you got to perform, and you better be good right away. No. But if you are looking to be – like go to any school and be able to bring it up to a championship level, just as a clean slate, Austin, Texas and University of Texas. Like
it has it all.
I guess if you,
like, especially now, you're going to have so much booster money paying the players NIL money.
Not only that, but
like the boosters for Texas got deeper pockets than the boosters for Alabama. No question.
That's true. There's just facts. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Vince Young and that team is 15 years ago now, more than. It's still
they haven't had a coach come in there and do a good job in the last 10 years.
I would agree.
Relying on talent to be good for them, and you know, talent gets beat when it's not coached well.
Well, and here's the thing: you look at Texas. If they get the right guy, right? If they get the right guy, they can be dangerous so fast, so fast.
And as a coach, I just had this thought: as a coach, you know that if you're the guy that turns Texas around, you're a fucking folk hero forever.
You'll get a statue. Now
you'll get a statue.
One thing that I just popped in my head is if you're taking that job right now in 2023, you have 1 year to get that team kind of primed up because next year you're going into the buzzsaw in the SEC.
Then you're walking into the SEC. I forgot about that, Kev. That makes it less appealing again.
No,
it does. Yeah.
Well, but it makes it more does, appealing. But in a way, like as a coach, you want it all, right? You're not gonna be a pussy. Like,
yes, you want it all, but you also want to be the guy that takes Texas back to the playoffs. And is it easier to take them to the playoffs in the SEC or the Big 12?
Well, that's one factor.
Here's my saying is like, you're getting the job in 2023, like you are walking into the building in 2023.
Yes.
They are not ready to compete in the SEC. It takes three years to get a program basically to where you want it to be as a coach, if not more.
I would agree. Texas is too high. I think
you got to get your recruits in the building.
I still think Texas is
1 year to be good in a Big 12 that's kind of been decapitated a little bit with Oklahoma having half their talent leave. And then if you have an off year this year, you're going to have a tough year, your first year in the SEC. You're going to start losing recruiting battles. And so I agree. Texas is overrated in this.
Let's go. I said something smart on the basis of football. Come on.
I agree with you, Drake. I do think they're a top 10 job, though.
I don't. I'm telling you, I wouldn't.
They are a top 10 job, but they're not two.
They're 100% top 10.
I
just to do what Kevin just said. Kevin just laid out what's going to happen to this Texas coach. He's going to get fired in 3 years.
If they don't turn around, what if they do?
They can't. They're not going. He just told you why they're not going
to. It's a mountain to climb. I think the other one that pops up to me as being overrated here is 14 and 15, Florida State and Auburn. I don't know if those are top.
I don't
16.
What makes those teams more appealing? Is this than the University of Iowa?
It's all factors considered, right?
Auburn has way more booster money than Iowa does.
You're right.
They have an
unlimited. They also are in the SEC. They're in the South.
You can recruit so much better in that area than you
weather.
Can in Iowa. There's five stars down the street. Like you don't.
I agree with your your talent recruiting grounds. How does the poorest state in the nation that also has another Big Ten or SEC school in that state have more money to throw around than Iowa?
You're asking Auburn?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how are there that many big boosters in like one of the poorest states in the country?
It's a good question.
They just do. I don't know how they got there, but they have.
Maybe the boosters down there just care more than they do up here.
I mean, they were giving Cam Newton everything, man. It's Cam Newton.
That was when they weren't playing. That's they didn't have to compete for Cam Newton back then. It was,
you're right.
You know, Cam Newton today,
a lot
more than $250,000.
Can you imagine the recruiting battle for Cam Newton out of that junior college?
It's seven figures easy.
Yeah. Yeah. To be quite honest, I don't see Georgia as number one.
Why not?
Tell us how.
I would put Alabama and Ohio State above Georgia on this list, and I'd have Georgia at three. I get it. Two national championships in a row. The brand and it's not like Alabama and Ohio State have fallen off like Texas. They're right there battling with you still. And I just think
I'd put LSU in front of Alabama. Really? Have you seen LSU? The facilities.
Has Olivia Dunn or what?
The facility. Wow. The facilities that LSU has are mind-boggling. They are the best facilities in the country. They have the holy grail of recruiting tools with their spot. They've got success. They've got like insane pedigree. They've got all of the history, and they have the holy grail of facilities.
And 110,000 capacity stadium too. So yeah, LSU is definitely a top five job for sure.
I think LSU is a top three sure.
Give me. We can argue about every single team on this list. I want to know, what do you guys give me, like one or two teams you think are not on here that should be on?
I was just going to ask you guys the same thing.
Let me ask one more question. How is USC number six?
It's USC. What do you mean?
Hilarious. How
they're heavily heavily relying. Them and Texas are both heavily relying on history. And
nobody gives a shit about USC anymore.
And their blue bloodedness to be Ohio.
Man, they might. I mean, they might care about them this year, Drake.
USC can be in the conversation for the same reason like Ohio State and LSU are there. Like they have all the same resources.
Yeah, but they're except for the success that they've had over the past, 18 years.
It doesn't matter if they have the success. What they need, it's what is the best job now? What is the best program?
Okay, so let me move to the worst part of Los Angeles and have homeless people shitting on the doorstep of my office.
They're not living there.
Have you seen where campus is in LA?
He's on a mansion on the beach. He's on a mansion on the beach. That's not where he lives.
Have you seen? Well, first of all, if he's driving from the beach to USC every day, he better have a helicopter. Have you seen where USC campus is?
He did barter the plane into the negotiation, I'm pretty sure.
But you can't fly that private jet on into the facility.
Puts it down right on the outdoor field, I think.
Dude, have you seen where that place is located?
I realize that it's not great.
Drake, you know what I mean, though, where I'm saying, like, he's not living there. They have him in a nice place.
Yes, but he's going single day to his office.
But he ain't out on the sidewalk. He's in
scum of the earth.
He's within the walls. He's not outside the walls with the human feces.
I would honestly say, 7-1, you could make an argument for either of their spots. Florida at 8 is
Florida is overrated here. And I think Penn State's highly underrated at 16. I think that's
agreed.
Yeah, dude, I would put Penn State closer to the top 10.
Penn State, all you have to do is bring a recruit to a whiteout, and it has to sell more often than not.
I think that
I agree with you, Grant. 1-7 probably stay in top 1-7, whatever order you want to put them in. I'd slide Penn State right behind Michigan at 8, I think.
What 1-7 are up there? Because if you're either of those programs and you come in as head coach, and if you do a good job, you're like all those programs are never more than like 4 years away from winning a national title. That's just with those resources, that's what you have.
We just said Texas is 2 decades from a national title.
But that's the thing. If you strike lightning in a bottle, and it's harder and harder to do these days, but if you get lightning in a bottle, you get the right coach, you get the right recruits who buy in, these are the places that can do it, right? Like that's what we're saying. Kevin, to answer your question, the two teams that come to mind right away, and then Iowa is the third, and I know Iowa is probably not a top 15 job, all things considered, but I'm biased here, and I think that the tradition and how steady and stable we know that program is really brings it to the top, and most people don't understand that. But the two other programs that come to mind are Oregon and Wisconsin.
Oregon doesn't make this list is crazy.
Those were actually my two teams as well, believe it or not.
Yeah, those are the two that come to mind.
Oregon was my one pick.
Wisconsin is, they've just been a really good football team for a long time, and they have the whole state to themselves, and they're 2 hours away from the Chicago recruiting grounds.
Yep.
They have great fan base, and you've seen why they've been successful. It's a place where you can go be a very successful coach. That's a top 16 team, to coach for.
And with Oregon's deep pockets and their brand. I mean, they're similar to Texas or Auburn around the 2010s. They were just as highly kind of up there as far as known as, hey, I want to go be D'Anthony Thomas and play at Oregon.
Remember growing up, it was just like cool. Like Oregon was cool, right?
Still cool. I would rather go to Oregon far, far before I ever went to Auburn, to be honest. That's me.
Yeah.
Casper just sent me a picture the other day of Kyler and Uncle Phil having a conversation.
Really?
Uncle Phil was just at practice, and yeah, it was him and Kyler talking.
Kyler asked for a couple more bags. That'd be.
I would say on that list too, Miami not being on there is great.
Miami's close.
Yeah, Miami deserves a conversation. I don't know if there are a lot in that list though.
I'd put Miami above a few of those schools. That's just my.
It's tough because there's a lot of really good brands, to be honest.
Like I think Miami is up there with like those like Blue Bloods. It's like I feel like if you're at a major program like that with the history and like the resources that they have, like if you get the right coach, you're never more than 4 to 5.
Right, and like I don't know if you guys. I hope you guys have watched the U 3530.
Oh yeah,
and they talk about how they're just going to recruit like from Miami to Tampa to Jacksonville, and just going to own that recruiting triangle, and that's all the talent you need.
And it's pretty decent down there.
Yeah.
You're
right, Grant. That's a good school.
Nice little conversation to have, though. Where do you think Iowa falls? They're a top 25 job, right?
Top 25, no doubt. Just because stability, right?
Yeah, I don't think that enough people on a national debate of what we just talked about would value the stability, though.
Yeah, you have stability. You have great support from your fan base. You have great facilities. Honestly, the toughest thing about going to Iowa is your recruiting field.
Yeah, it's the location.
You have to go win in Chicago. You have to go win in Minneapolis, and you have to go get kids from far away, you know, Texas, yeah. Florida, et cetera. Yeah. It's tough to win if you're just getting half your recruits from Iowa.
Really tough.
You're also competing with another in-state Power 5
school. Well, yeah, what you mentioned with Wisconsin having their own state, Iowa would be basically the blueprint, you know, the copy and paste of Wisconsin if they didn't have to. And Iowa State doesn't really recruit the same guys, but it's still a battle. They're still, you know, it's still there. So
Wisconsin's got like three times the population too of Iowa. Yeah.
I think Iowa slots in my mind somewhere just outside that top 20, maybe 22, 23. Really hard to break the top 20 on that list, especially after we mentioned teams like Oregon, Washington, Utah. There's some other big brands.
You know, a decade ago after Bo Pelini got fired, Nebraska would
Nebraska
have been
a top 16 job. Yeah. Nebraska.
I don't know if it is anymore.
It still is. It's still like Nebraska, with they have crazy resources too, which is more of like why everyone was so upset with
Nebraska.
But how they have the same expectations of Texas. They have even less. They have less potential than Texas with the same expectations because they were good 30 years ago.
Yeah. Well, no one's arguing it for to be the top two.
Too many schools have that expectation.
Here's the thing. I've seen, and this goes back to like people getting hype on like camp videos and stuff. Nebraska's been putting out a lot of Matt Rhule content. With Frost,
that seems like a good coach.
I think he's going to do well there, and it hurts a little bit because I think he's a good fit. He's saying all the right stuff. Frost was he was a joker. I mean, I don't even know if he was coaching, right? But I think Rhule might have him going. I don't think this year. But next year there might be.
He did a great job at Baylor.
He did. Let's roll into it here. So, a couple stats. Iowa has, based on last year's records, I believe, the 77th ranked schedule in the country as far as
like strength of schedule.
Strength of schedule.
It's a good number.
Easiest in the Big Ten.
It's a great number.
If you're looking to win games, it sure is.
Who's looking to lose them? Tell me who's looking to lose them.
Good point. And so, obviously, some high expectations this year. You couple that with the fact that they've brought in Cade, who is a proven quarterback at Michigan. You return a defense that's most likely going to be a top five, almost undoubtedly going to be a top 10 defense in the country. You know, I don't know how much these people actually know on Twitter, the scouting services, all these people, but I've seen both the secondary and the defensive line ranked like second or top five in the country on multiple things. Like this is going to be a problem defense.
I didn't realize that the defensive line was that good. I know you guys are high on them, and I didn't realize it was that kind of talent and depth there.
Well, I don't think we have any first rounders like we did last year, but
we don't have the high end. But we're deep.
We have no gaps, and we have two rotations. Like these guys can get rotated in and out; they'll be fresh, and there's not going to be a drop off from line A to line B.
Because I know we potentially have one of those like Patrick Peterson, Tre'Davious White type secondaries, and a couple guys that could legitimately be first round draft picks. But
eventually, yeah.
Man, if our defensive line's that good, our secondary is going to look like they should all be in the NFL today.
Well, here's the thing: it's crazy. Our linebackers are going to be pretty damn good, and they are going to be overshadowed.
They're just
going
to be able to run. The linebacker is going to make a bunch of tackles just running free, but the secondary, I mean, they're hardly going to have to be able to cover anybody. They're already good. They already can cover you. And now they're going to have a defensive line that's going to make it hell on a quarterback. I mean, they're going to look like absolute all pros.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good factors here. You bring back a stable of running backs. There's some Deontay Vines. I know you guys don't follow it as much as I do, but Deontay Vines, who I was high on last year, he's impressing people. He's got really good quickness. I think he runs good routes.
I do believe one of the coaches said he's the fastest, correct?
Yeah. Caleb, what's his name? Caleb Brown, maybe. Who's the guy from Ohio State? I don't know his name.
It's Brown. Last name Brown.
He made a few good plays the other day. Did Kevin bow out by himself first?
I think so.
Kevin, you good?
Yeah, I think the internet just took a quick shit.
Oh, all good. All good. So you've got maybe a couple threats. Nico's back, although he did not participate in Kids Day. Probably just
Dude, he's got arthritis, man. You got to take it easy on these old guys.
I responded to Chad Lysico on Twitter. I said, hey, if you play into your 30s like Nico, you automatically get Kids Day off.
Yeah, it's, for you, sure.
That guy's held together at this point by duct tape. He is only playing game reps, right? So if he doesn't add a ton on the field, and hey, maybe Deontay Vines and the Brown kid go off and there are dudes.
Nah, Nico's going to catch a lot of balls. He will.
And he's a veteran in the room who knows the system. So there's a lot of high expectation, you know. The over-under at one point was a crazy 7.5 games. And I don't know.
I hope you guys hammered that, because that just seems a little different.
It was 7.5, but I think it was like close to -200.
It was like minus. I would say it was like minus 170.
Okay, that makes more sense.
It's not amazing. Yeah, so
it's not. It's not even money on it.
It is.
What
not.
I gather is it's moved up to 8.5, or so.
It's 8.5.
And it's like -110.
I saw.
Did you see +100? Wow. Yeah. So that's kind of where we're looking at right now. Obviously, you know, we're gonna get to it here in a second. But you take a look at this schedule. All right.
Kevin, what would you bet? -7.5 at 170, taking the loss, or 8.5, and you take it even?
I think, honestly, man, barring any catastrophic injuries, you can bet a lot of money on the over 7.5 and just eat the
vig.
I don't see them losing 5 games on the schedule.
It would be hard for them to do it. I mean, let's quickly run through it. We start off with Utah State at home. The boys will be in the box for that one. Just want to put that out there. Shout out. Shout out to, if you know, you know. Iowa State, who is crumbling.
They're going to have some problems this year.
They're going to have some holes to fill, because a starting offensive lineman, a starting defensive lineman, their running back, their quarterback, they're all
When you move around, your mic's giving a ton of feedback.
They're losing like 5 starters due to this betting stuff, and I think their careers are over potentially. So that's
gonna be. And they were only projected to return 6 defensive starters to begin with.
And they lost at least one more to the betting stuff.
Yeah.
So
the only tough thing is that it's in Ames.
They always
get up for.
They do. Game. They do.
I'm not going to predict a blowout by any means, but I expect them to win that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I really do think it could be like a 44-3 type situation, or 42-3, something like a couple years ago. Western Michigan comes in. Shout out to them, but I don't know if they're going to be able to get it done in Iowa City. Then Iowa goes.
Still sneaky though.
What would you say, Grant?
Well, like if you just look at the schedule, like it. Could accidentally be closer than it could be, just because like it's sandwiched in there between two games that Iowa State view as really important.
See, man, that's a fan take, and
I knew. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, as a player, man, I never subscribed to that belief.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're
okay. That's fine.
Gotta
that's
win
fine,
them all.
I just I don't know. Like I don't think they're not gonna like I don't think they're gonna lose, but like I don't think it's gonna be like 40-0.
Man, once one of the around, you're just locked in on the next.
I love that we're just okay. We just hate fans on this show.
One of the things that I felt a little bit though in situations like that Grant's referring to is a little bit of boredom, like from the high that you felt into Iowa State, playing them, beating them, and then you're like, next week we do get to play at Penn State. Like, let's just get this one over with. Like, let's just go out and win this one.
You're right.
I do see the perspective, because my excitement level was different, but the intention of winning was no different.
So I understand 100% what you're saying, Drake, because I remember walking into Ross-Ade Stadium our freshman year when I got to travel with the team and just thinking – well, this is a whole lot different than the horseshoe. And now, should that affect your play? Should you go try any less because it's not as exciting? No. Because
every single play, you're giving everything you have, regardless of your environment. But leading up to it, it does feel different.
These boys are going to go to Iowa State and to Penn State in 2 out of 3 weeks. And those are going to look like, even though Kinnick is sold out for Western Michigan, those environments are going to be a tad different than the old Broncos coming to Iowa City. And I'm excited for the boys to experience those two environments. But Drake's right. There is going to be maybe a little bit of...
And they get to play Penn State at night, man.
Oh, it's going to be...
They might... What's Penn State's schedule look like?
We could take.
They're gonna white that thing out.
It's a whiteout. Yeah, it's a
whiteout. Oh, I don't even check their schedule.
So, Penn State, obviously the one that's circled this year for the Hawks. That's the big one. They come back home to Iowa City. The Spartans come to town. Then Purdue comes to town. They go to Wisconsin. They get Minnesota at home. They go to Northwestern. Rutgers at home. Illinois at home, finish with Nebraska in Lincoln. So I pulled the Discord, I think last week, maybe a couple weeks ago at this point. And I wanted to see what their expectations were for the season. Thank you to the 14 people who gave their full game-by-game predictions. We get a little bit of that fan bias here. Because these predictions are interesting. I'll go over them with you. Of the 14, the most predicted record for the Hawks this year was 11-1. Second most was 12-0.
Yeah.
Then third at 10-2, and finally two people predicted 9-3. The most predicted loss on the schedule, and this one will actually surprise you. Anybody want to take a guess?
At Northwestern.
Nope.
No, it's at Penn State. Anything other than
at he said Penn it was going to surprise you, though.
It was not Penn State.
Well, any other answer is wrong, is what I'm saying.
I agree, Kevin.
More people predicted a home loss to Illinois than they did a.
That's going to be a tough game. That game might be the Big Ten West champion right there.
So, of the predictions, 6 out of the 14 people predicted that we would lose the Illinois game. Only 5 predicted that we'd lose the Penn State game. So again, I think we're just hype and we're like, but I'm not going to put my psychoanalysis on the contributors to this poll here.
But it needs to be taken into light how serious of an advantage Happy Valley at night is.
Crazy.
It is the amount of points that the Hawks are getting in that Illinois game as opposed to the Penn State game just before the game even kicks off is a significant contributor to the game.
You're saying Kinnick on your side versus Beaver Stadium against you?
It's a whole touchdown.
That's at least 7 points difference.
It's a touchdown.
You're starting 7 points difference before the game kicks off.
In that comparison, yeah.
They're 10.5-point underdogs.
Yeah.
Where? Who?
Against Penn State.
At Penn State.
That might be good money.
Who do they there. Penn State is?
Well,
we are.
Penn State's going to be really – Penn State's going to be –
Penn State's going to have dudes on that defense.
No. Drake,
They're good. Drake?
No.
Grant?
Oh, well, I mean, I will say, like, as much as it is, like, environment Penn State, like as a whole, this game, like I think Penn State is totally such cowards for scheduling us with the wideout. Like if it's the so-called like best environment ever, like you guys say, like they've had a college football playoff team come there the past 2 years. They scheduled Minnesota last year for it, and they scheduled us this year when they have Ohio State coming. Like they were barely limping over 500 when they were scheduling playoff teams coming in every year, and now I hope they win this one badly.
Stand up from just Penn to ruin State
their little precious record
because I'm pretty sure they usually make it a night game, and I don't know if they have any other guaranteed night games.
They were playing Ohio State and Michigan though, like every single other year, and they kept.
Grant's looking right at Happy Ohio Valley State. Right now.
They're home versus Michigan, but that's November, so they probably don't have a time for that game yet. And they want to make sure their whiteout's a night game because it's fucking cool.
I will side in the middle. I love that Kevin provides
the person in the middle. How do you side in the middle?
Well, I'm not siding with anybody. I will settle in the middle as Kevin provides great perspective that a lot of this has to do with TV and night games and scheduling. But I love that Grant Allen looks Happy Valley square in the eyes and says, "You pussies, schedule Ohio State."
Like I hope that like the players like realize that they're scheduling Iowa because they don't want to lose their night game, their precious whiteout, and they're insulting the Iowa team saying that, "Oh, we can beat these guys for sure." Like I hope that they see that and they're like, "This is insulting."
I think they usually just schedule the biggest night game of the year that they know they have a white game. Like they do it to Michigan when they come in, I think a couple of years ago.
But they don't anymore because they were barely over 500 in night games, and now they're scared to lose.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right.
Send them a letter, Grant.
Yeah.
Tell them scared money don't make money.
This Penn State game that we're talking about will happen on September 23rd. It's 2 days before my birthday. Happens to fall on the birthday of my best friend from high school, Gimbo. He's co-hosted one of the episodes with me before. I was going to surprise him by flying us out to watch the Hawks in the whiteout. And then I looked at the airplane tickets. And I decided, well, maybe we'll not do that. but that was going to be a really, really cool birthday present. And he'll probably hear this. So, Blake, I'm sorry. I don't have it like that, brother. It just ain't going to happen. I'll hit up Kirk and see if he'll let us fly on the plane. Drake mentions the home field advantage of Happy Valley. It is nuts. I don't subscribe or love giving this account any publicity, but I'll do it once on the podcast. Big Game Boomer came out with the top home field advantage. I actually believe it was titled Top 10 Scariest Places to Play at Night. Both Penn State and Iowa were in the top three. I think it went Penn State, LSU, Iowa as top three scariest places to play at night. Have to agree. It's a good top three. And Big Game Boomer also named us the best Iowa podcast to listen to. So
I was going to say, we should be giving him love.
That guy is completely clueless most of the time. But he got one thing right. And honestly, I'm not even sure he got it right by putting us there, to be honest.
No, he did not. He 100% did not.
That's fake news.
Yeah, I certainly couldn't be us. So anyway, easiest schedule in the Big Ten. We just ran over it. 77th easiest in the country. The odds that I found, I believe this was FanDuel, is plus 1,200 to win the Big Ten Conference, the Big Ten Championship, plus 250 to win the West. And odds are currently saying, I don't know what their formulas are running, but it says that we are 52% chance to go over 8.5 wins this year. Any thoughts on those?
What are the odds for anyone else to win the West? Are we the favorite?
I don't know what Wisconsin is.
We weren't. Odds to win Big Ten West.
I would have to imagine Wisconsin's the only other.
As far as the season total over, right? We know Penn State could be a problem.
Yep.
Wisconsin, despite having a new coach, will have talent. And
didn't they lose their quarterback though?
They brought in a really good one.
SMU's quarterback.
Graham Mertz really was good. Just named the starter wherever he transferred to, by the way.
Miami, Florida. Right? Or Florida.
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 Yeah, Wisconsin brought in SMU's quarterback, and he's pretty damn good.
I think he had 10 touchdowns in a game last year.
Yeah, they lose Jimbo on their DC, but they will have a lot of defensive players back. I mean, they're going to be a good team still. They have a good coach. It might take them a while to get things running smoothly in his system, but that's not going to be a easy game by any stretch of the imagination. Illinois is going to be a tough one too.
I found in comparison to the Hawks, Wisconsin is a plus 180.
So they're basically saying like the Big Ten West is going to be decided that weekend.
It's Wisconsin or Iowa. Plus 250, plus 180 is what you're looking at where I found. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where else.
Minnesota will be a tight game, I think, but I expect the Hawks to win that game. So really there's four question marks on this schedule for me. And I think the Hawks get at least two of them.
Yeah. And that's how I look at this as well. There's question marks, and I expect them to come out with a couple wins in that group of question marks. So if you want to go through it, and we can kind of go game by game. Utah State, not a single person in the Discord or any of us are going to have the Hawks losing the opener to Utah State. If they do, just expect Drake to potentially not be on the earth anymore, and this podcast certainly
on earth. What, dude? I don't give a fuck about the Hawks anymore. I just won't show up to the podcast
again. You'll just totally dissociate from the brand and everything. Yeah. Black and gold.
Dude, I'll be watching US or UFC.
Yeah, you'll be a Texas fan after that, right?
Yeah, whatever. Just won't watch football. Couldn't care
Utah State, we should probably win. Again, we talk about it. Iowa State, probably need to go in and win that one. Western Michigan, we need to win that one. Penn State is the first one on the schedule where, on my end, in how I look at things, if you play a game 10 times, how likely are you to win? I think the Hawks are less likely to win this game than Penn State enough times out of 10 where I will chalk this one up as probably one of the losses in my
life. Yeah. If you want, what's your number out of 10 times? I've got it at they win this game two or three times.
I was going to say somewhere in between two and three. Yeah.
That's going to be a good team. Tough environment.
But guess what? They only got to win it once.
It only takes once, right? Yeah. And by me saying this is probably going to be a loss does not mean at all that I don't think they can win the game. I certainly do.
It's just statistics. It's probabilities.
Yeah. I guess I'll preface this, and I will tell you that I think the Hawks are going to get double-digit wins this year. I think they're going to be a 10-2 football team. That is where I have them. Penn State is probably one of the losses. We'll get to where the other ones could come, but do we agree on the Penn State? It's an improbability that the Hawks win this.
Odds are against them, and the Vegas lines show it.
Yeah. Michigan State comes to Iowa City.
Not
and
about that game,
I am not either. Quite honestly, Mel Tucker, he's a clown.
Lost their quarterback, top receiver, to the transfer portal. I don't see things going in the right direction for that program.
Hey, great businessman though, Mel Tucker. He really convinced everyone in 1 year to give him that crazy contract.
Hey, shout out Kenneth Walker,
shout out to
baby.
Him. Shout out to
Kenneth Walker. Yeah, you should give Kenneth Walker half his fucking salary.
He'd still have $55 million after that. Purdue comes to Iowa. Purdue has given us troubles. Last year, we were worried because they beat us like 100 times out of the last 100 times. And we actually took care of business on a windy day in West Lafayette. They lost their coach. They lost a couple players. I don't see this one as an issue either.
Yeah, rebuilding year for the Boilermakers, hopefully turn back into the Perdonts.
Yep.
Yeah, shouldn't be an issue.
In a similar situation, but maybe a different outcome, Wisconsin.
We have to be a less dog, but still dog in this situation.
Probably, yeah. Iowa will go to Wisconsin, where they get a coaching upgrade. I think so. Certainly a brand shift. Supposedly, they're going to spread it out and run like a much different offense. Fickle is a good coach, or at least he proved to be at Cincinnati. They are the favorites to win the West in Vegas. This one's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough game. This one is one of those toss-up games. I have three of them left on the schedule. And of those three, I think this is one they could potentially lose. Not going to say they win or lose it. It's one of the three they could.
Yeah, this is going to be you know, it'd be a lot easier to predict this game the week of if we're seeing a huge improvement in offensive line play and offensive play in general. Mm-hmm. Then I think they have they win this game 6 to 7 times out of 10.
Iowa?
Yeah. If we see offensive line play like we saw last year, then they might win 2 out of 3 times.
Yeah.
Out of 10.
This game specifically, maybe more than any on the schedule, as you look at it before the season starts, is one of those where we really need to know where we're at in week 7 or week 8, where it's going to be a totally different sort of outlook depending on where, you know, maybe year one of Fickle looks like ass. Maybe they can't put it together. Who knows? Those are always questions that have to be answered. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, some people, and there was a couple of the Discord members who had losses to Minnesota. Until Fleck beats KF, this one's a check mark for me. They own him.
I wouldn't say check mark, man.
No, nope, check it up. I'm going to be a fan here quick and just be irrational. Until Fleck beats KF, we own Minneapolis.
Well, we do. But there's been some close games in years of late.
Don't care how close it gets.
They lost their best players too. They got a really young quarterback who's not bad for how young he is.
But like,
he got some action last year when Tanner Morgan was hurt.
Yeah, he's got an awesome nickname though, Greek Rifle. It's pretty cool.
They literally have the Alpha Cuck coaching their football team. Hawks by a million.
But like, if they couldn't beat Iowa with Mo Ibrahim, like one of the best running backs in the country, I don't see what they're going to do this time.
Dude, we need a shirt. We need to do a shirt with Fleck on it that says the Alpha Cuck. I think we could sell it to everyone.
You know, he's the type of guy that would find it and sue the fuck out of us too.
Sue us, but also, but he'd also buy one.
My dick in a box.
He'd also buy one so that he could wear it while other dudes bang his wife. I don't see us losing this game. Northwestern, they're a little bit concerned, preoccupied with other things. This isn't a toss up. I know that they've given us fits in a while. That's no pun intended. I was winning in Evanston.
Evanston.
What?
Wrigley Field.
Oh shit! It is at Wrigley.
How much does playing in the baseball field affect the game?
It gives the Hawks even more advantage.
So yeah. My brother, when he played at Northwestern, they actually played a game at Wrigley, and I don't know if they figured it out since then, but all the offensive drives had to go the same direction because there wasn't enough room behind the end of the end zone going other way.
I think it's a shared sideline situation. There might only be one.
Yeah, they had to share the sideline too. So like if you're like on like the 5 yard line as a defender, you're having to look and get the calls from like the opposite 40.
I hope they figure that out because that's a clusterfuck. But do any of you see this as a problem?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
Northwestern's worried about what they're doing in the locker rooms after the game. Iowa probably taking care of the stuff on the field.
That's why I chose Northwestern, dude. You said it was going to surprise which team they thought we were going to lose to. I chose most surprising one.
No. The Discord had us 14 wins against the Wildcats. Rutgers coming back to Iowa City, I don't see this as an issue. The last two fall in that category with Wisconsin for me. They are the toss-ups. We could lose to Illinois. We lost to them last year. We could lose to Nebraska. We lost to them last year. I think Nebraska will be just as good or better. I think that Illinois is unfortunately a problem in the West right now. And
yeah, they're returning 6 guys on offense, 6 guys on defense. But you know, they have done really well under this new coaching staff and they've become a pretty physical team, and that's going to be a fun game to watch. Definitely. They're not the chalk in the win column that they used to be.
Yeah, unfortunately. And so for me personally, Tyler Kluver, if you throw Wisconsin, Illinois, Nebraska, and Penn State in a bag, I expect the Hawks to get 2 of those 4. I think they could get all 4 of them, right? I know the odds. I know how hard it is to win 12 games. I know that there's other games on here that I'm, you know, irrationally calling a win. There is a way that we lose to Minnesota. I'm not going to act like there isn't. There is a way that we lose to Purdue. Teams don't show up or do show up on days where you don't expect them to.
I'll never give Iowa State or Minnesota the credit. Any team who has another team living completely and utterly rent-free in their head every single day of the calendar year for as long as those loser scumbag pieces of shit live, they'll never beat us. We own them. We're their fathers. We bang their mothers and we pull them out. All right. We bang their moms and we pull them out.
Okay.
Alpha cuck.
You'll never. I mean, there just certainly is not another season preview like this one. You're just not going to find it. I got the Hawks at 10-2. I'm not going to tell you which ones they lose, but of those 4, I think they go 2-2 and that's where we're at. Kev, Grant, you guys want to give a final schedule or a record prediction if you've got it? If not,
I think 10-2 is the most likely outcome.
Okay.
Like of those 4 games are your question marks. I think you have a 10% chance, if that, of winning all 4.
It's tough.
But you're not going to lose all. You're more than likely not going to lose all 4 too. So it's probably like a 10% chance that you lose all 4 as well. Yeah. So
all right. So here's my thing. Then let's put our money where our mouth is as a podcast. Let's take podcast money and let's make 2 bets. One is hammering the over 8.5, and one is a smaller bet on 10-2.
And we are going to have to look into that. Grant, you are an intern. Can you Google, can companies bet money.
Can companies?
Well, I think we can get around it by just having one of us place an individual bet, and we'll Venmo each other on the side.
Let's not admit to tax fraud right here on the recording.
Does this company have a social security number that we can put into the Betfred?
We have an EIN.
I don't think those are the same.
Oh, okay.
It is not the same.
I don't think a company can place the
bet. Do you think we could find an alternate line on the 9.5 over 9.5?
No, it says over 8. You said it was over 8.5.
I know, but you said
he wants to move it up. Like you'd probably get it juiced.
Oh. I was saying place a bet on exactly 10-2.
But who are we placing the bet with?
Well, I figured
hopefully our sponsor.
Any sportsbook should be able to give you a line on that.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you're getting an alternate line then on.
Yeah, but don't take it on over 9.5. Take it on the exact
on exactly 10
and 2. Because 10-2 was my pick. 10-2 is your guys' two picks.
All right, Gary, do you have any?
Do it this way: is we have the podcast give somebody a bonus, and that person takes that bonus and just makes the bet.
Yeah. Grant, did you have other opinions on the record this year for the Hawks? Or are you on the 10-2 train with us?
I think I mean, honestly, like
PJ Fleck?
I think that realistically, like, I think this is like an 11-1 team, really. Like, I'm not afraid of some of these teams. Like, I don't even like Illinois. I mean, I get that Bielema is a great coach. Like, I'm never going to give him, he's got the Hawkeye on his calf. Like, I'm not going to trash him or anything, but like losing Chase Brown on that.
Scared, pussy.
What?
you said, well,
you marked it. You had there's four of them. I was like, there's maybe two.
We're not scared.
I don't think you're scared either, but it's like, it seems like Illinois and I don't think we lose that one. I understand that, and this is what happened last time too. That's the game. It's not the week of Thanksgiving, but it's the game before. And a lot of students leave town. So it's it's sold out, but the student section probably just won't be as full. The energy is not there.
It's actually currently the only game that's not sold out on Iowa State.
Okay, that makes a ton of sense then. So I understand some of the concern there, but I think losing Chase Brown on Illinois means so much on that team that I don't expect it to be the same as it was last year. Like, he was generational talent for Illinois. Like, I don't think it's the same there.
Their defense is still going to be crazy good though.
I understand, but it's like if we're comparing them to Iowa, right? It's the same two teams playing each other. I think we made bigger improvements than them. So I'm not as concerned.
Yeah.
But I think I think 10, from me, I think anything less than 10, I view it as almost a disappointment. That's what I see.
Less than 10 is a disappointment for you, okay? I'm not judging. I think that's great. I just wanted to know where you're at.
And I think if the team is looking at this too, I don't know what you like. When you guys were preseason, right, did you ever look at the schedule and you're like, if we have anything less than this, this is a disappointment?
No, again, we didn't do that.
Yeah, Every single game. Yeah.
The way a team looks at it, Grant, is they're looking at the Utah State Aggies right now, and they're thinking if we're anything less than 1-0 after this weekend, then we fucked up, right?
You don't even look a little bit like, oh, we lost to Illinois. Like, we really need to win that game this year.
Nope.
There's so many other factors that go through your head, dude. You're so busy. You're at school now. Your football has taken over every aspect of your life and
the camp goggles are off.
You're still lifting weights, dude. You're exhausted. Like, there's no other energy or time to put thought into anything else other than what is directly in front of your nose.
Yeah. This whole conversation kind of reminds me of when before the 2015 season, Lomax was one of the guys that went to Chicago for Big Ten Media Day.
Yep.
And they asked him, what does a successful season look like for Iowa this year? And he's just like, win every game.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? Yeah. And they almost laughed him off the set.
And it's the thing that non-players don't get. They just don't get it. Like, as a fan, you have the ability, because you're not so emotionally and physically invested into actually you being the one to try and go onto the field in between the white lines and beat the opponent, that you can pull off at the break and say, it's going to be really tough. I don't think we're going to beat so-and-so team. But as a player,
we did just do that on this podcast, but I still, every time I played, thought I was going to win.
No, I don't think we did that. I think we acknowledged the possibility that a loss is in the potential outcomes, knowing that I think we would have acknowledged that as players too. But as you approach the game, your only focus and your goal is to win the game. It's not to, we never went to Ohio State or Michigan and said, man, if we could just keep it within three touchdowns, you know, that'd be great. That'd be a win for us, right?
Like, that's not what I'm saying, but I mean,
no, I know.
Like I know, obviously, like you go into every game expecting to win. Like that's just like you don't get to the Division One level, especially like a competitive team at the Division One level, by like being like maybe we'll keep it close. Like I like obviously like you go into every game expecting to win, but like in you, I don't even know what I'm trying to say here anymore. At this
I don't
point,
either.
But like
I don't
you
know where
like,
we came from in this.
You get like there's never like we need like you guys like preseason. It's like every team in the country is saying like 12-0.
100%, dude.
They're not
because there's no other acceptable outcome.
There's
because
not,
winning is or losing isn't acceptable.
There, it's framed differently, Grant. When you a team isn't looking at the schedule and saying, out of these 12 games, how many do we want to win?
They're and actually, just, I shouldn't even speak for other teams either, because who knows how they operate.
There in could be some building, teams
in our building. Every single day, every minute was only put towards winning. What are you doing to win every single game?
Yeah, and do the next thing right. And KF always loved to hand out this quote. I don't know if you guys remember. It's Nate Kading's quote. It was something like, just take it one step at a time. There is no big picture.
Yep. Thank you, Kevin. That is Grant, that is exactly what I was trying to say. When a team let's spotlight in. It's week four against Penn State. The Hawks are 3-0. The Hawkeyes, as they walk through the complex, are not thinking, if we beat Penn State, like we're going 12-0. They're thinking, how do we do everything we can right now to beat Penn State and be 4-0? And if they win that game, the next week they're thinking, how can we do everything possible to beat Michigan State and be 5-0? And if they lose that game and they're now 3-1, they're still thinking, how do we do everything possible in our power to be 4-1 after this next weekend? It's 1 week at a time. There is no big picture.
The KF is super good about that. That's the KF mindset. KF is like the spearhead of that exact mindset.
Yeah. So
makes sense.
Yeah. This one ran a little long, just like the last time we were going to do a top five dog breeds.
Yeah. It hurts my feelings, dude. I showed up for the top five.
I don't think we'd do it justice right now. And I, to be quite honest, I'm not even invested. I've got a 2-scoop hot fudge from Culver's waiting for me in the freezer. So.
And then the fudge isn't going to be hot. So that's completely fake news. You just have a 2-scoop fudge top.
It's a 2-scoop fudge waiting for me. And I'm still damn excited about it, brother.
I mean, I understand your excitement, but that's at least a 1.5 fake news. That's like an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even call it fake news. I'll just reclassify it as a 2-scoop cold fudge and not a hot fudge. Are you guys cool with leaving it there? The podcast is 10-2 train, by the way. Choo choo.
That's the only good thing that came out of this podcast. I at least got to place a sports bet.
And we all agreed, which is sometimes rare. Grant, just want to say one thing before we go. You look fantastic, man. The jersey looked great tonight, and I hope you continue.
Who's 28 in the orange?
This is Claude Giroux. Future Hall of Famer, NHL. This is he's not on the Flyers anymore.
Flyers, huh?
Philly Flyers
was on the
Flyers. Shout out to the Philly Dirtbags, man. There are few people on earth more trashy than the people of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Shout out to you. I'm a trash bag. Y'all are trash bags. Good night.
See ya. Thanks for listening to the show. Check us out on all the social medias. Appreciate y'all. We'll talk to you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.